B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand, on a Tuesday, June 9th. Let's do another show. What do you say? Huh? Good?
Sounds great.
Good?
My mulch pile's gone.
It is?
I just want to make that statement, yes.
Congratulations. I think mine is coming on Thursday, getting a delivery.
Nice.
Yeah.
You getting it from the same place I did?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But yeah. But I don't get 25 yards like you do.
20 this year. Thank you.
20. I don't get 20 like you do. Not that, no, I don't go for, I think I'm getting 3.
My man Sean. Sean gets the 5, and he's been helping me schlep it for over a week now. He goes, I can't believe they don't think this is 20. This is a lot of freaking mulch, man.
That's because he's schlepping mulch at someone else's house.
Right. Yeah, but he would schlep it anywhere. He's schlep. Schlep, schlep mulch. That's what they do.
All right. Just a heads up for those of you watching on our simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, the studio, the home base at the Town Fair Tire Studios is offline at the moment. So you can hear Hardy, but you won't be able to see him.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
The one TV connection that we should have that's ironclad and it's
right.
Down in studio.
That's sort of funny.
You and I are all up and running on remote from different locations with 18 cords coming out of our walls, but yet Hardy can't get up a video in the studio. Can't get him up on video.
There's something going on with the lights in there. I think the lights are the issue.
Hopefully they're changing them to softer lights.
No, that's wishful thinking. I don't think that's it, though. I don't know. They'll figure it out. It's fine.
617-77.
That's why I'm not. Are you seeing that?
Wow.
You see the monitor
creepy.
Right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I like that. I like that look. That's actually great. That's actually an amazing look.
It's kind of creepy. All you see is his big white teeth.
Can we?
Like
I wish it were like green, so you could put like put graphics and weird stuff behind you, like a green screen.
It looks like 70s home movies where everything was just a little. It was either blinding white or just a little too dark. Right now,
yeah.
It's a little too dark.
All right, cool.
You ever watch those movies? Did your parents ever film that of you opening like Christmas gifts?
Oh
like,
yeah,
we were always dressed up like. Neat as a pin, like the commercials. It's like, it was a weird time. Now we're just like shirtless with a cup of coffee and go ahead, kids, open your present.
All right, let's start
back then. Go ahead.
Let's start with this question. Do you think Colin Kaepernick will land on an NFL team this season?
I don't think so.
In any capacity, by the way.
Training camp. I don't think so, but I think he will at some point.
I don't think so, but I think he will.
You're with me on that. See,
no, I don't know.
No. He's repeating what you said because I don't think he's clear on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, in the midst of everything, I know there's a lot of articles out there saying, hey, now's the time to go get Kaepernick and sign him if you want to do the right thing. Doing the right thing is bringing in the right type of talent for your football team. That's the job of a GM and a head coach, the people that care about their teams, to just look at certain things and how's this guy fit our grouping. I have the same stance on Kaepernick that I do with Cam Newton. If you should pick up the phone and see where they at mentally, if you are interested, bring the guy in for a workout, which I don't think they have done. And I think that's where Kaepernick would run into the problem. Going back to his workout at that Atlanta field last year, I thought the ball sailed on him. I thought he threw a lot off his back foot. He was inaccurate on some of the slants, the quick outs and that stuff. Like the ball was behind the receivers. You bring a guy for a workout. I mean, that ball's got to be out. It's got to be on time. It's got to hit the outside shoulder and it's got to be boom, boom. You only get like 20 throws and you better hit 18 of them. And I don't think he'd be able to do that in a workout right now. And I think that would keep him from not being signed or being on a team to compete for a starting job. Now, do I think there are offenses that – I think offenses have changed to where it helps some of them, like the mobile quarterback, like out in Seattle, obviously out in Kansas City, Baltimore. I think Baltimore would be a perfect place for him because that's some of the stuff that Harbaugh ran with him when he was his best. He got into trouble when it was Chip Kelly and they tried to spread the field out. I remember calling that game out there in San Francisco, and it just seemed like his head. You looked at the stripes on the San Francisco helmet. You could tell it's pointed one way left or it's pointed to the right, and that's when you're a safety or you're a defensive back or a backer. You're reading the eyes of the quarterback, and I think he cut the field in half for him and really got him into trouble.
Okay, how many quarterbacks that end up on an NFL roster or end up in training camp could get picked apart the same way you just did Colin Kaepernick?
A lot of them.
A lot of them. So I understand everything you're saying, and I'm not saying that any of it is wrong. All I'm saying is there are guys that have all those same issues that have ended up playing for NFL teams.
I wouldn't say they're handpicked. You know what I mean? The guys like Chase Daniel and that, like, they made a lot of money in this league. The Todd Collinses of the world, McCown, all them, they're all going to be there. Because, you know, they show up and they're content being a number two or a three, and they're just good, decent locker room guys. You know, again, I mean, Kaepernick would have to come in and blow you away in a workout for I think
that what people need
not just
to realize,
kick the tires with the guy. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
Well, why not? You kick tires with quarterbacks every year during training camp. Like, every team's doing that.
I'm saying bring in a guy just to, like, when they brought Tebow in and they, like, tried to force that thing, it's going to come around, and it never came around.
It's a perfect example. That was them kicking the tires on the guy.
Yeah.
On Tim Tebow, who does not fit what the Patriots do, who cannot hit a guy in stride, other than the one time he hit Demaryius Thomas, who had all kinds of throwing issues. Patriots still brought him in.
Yeah, but I think you bring in a guy like Kaepernick for camp and – say one of the two kids that you signed is unrestricted free agent. That Lewerke kid, I like him. I've watched some of his tape already. I know you think he's a turnover machine, but if one of those kids beat him out for the third spot and he got cut, you wouldn't hear the end of it.
I'm not sure.
You just bring in a guy and mess with him. If Kaepernick came into camp,
okay, yep,
and he competed with all, and one of those two guys beat him out for the third spot.
Oh, the two guys that the Patriots drafted.
Undrafted
guys.
Yeah,
got it. Okay,
not Stidham, not Hoyer. I'm talking about one of those two beat him out. Like, oh wow, they actually look better in camp. We're gonna keep one of these guys as a third guy and try and sneak him on a practice squad. See, I think Cap wants to play, and that's part of the problem.
So I would say a bigger problem would be that can an NFL coach sign Colin Kaepernick on his own? Can an NFL coach or an NFL GM pick up the phone, call Colin Kaepernick, make an offer to him, and bring him on board without running it up the ladder to their owner?
No.
And that's the problem. That's the problem in this league.
You'd have to have zero awareness to not think that you all would have to be on the same page as a football team to bring him in.
That is that's sort of the built-in problem as it relates now to Colin Kaepernick, that no GM is going to be able to sign him because they'd like to just take a look and see if he could play quarterback for them.
See, it's not like he just played last year. The problem is now he's been out for 4 years, man. You know,
but they're still going to have to call their owner, usually some old white guy, who may have, may dislike Colin Kaepernick and is going to say, nope, not on my team. And so I think when you talk about football,
bottom right corner,
and where does he fit in an offense, I think it's a giant waste of time. I think it's a complete waste of time because the bigger question should be which team has a coach who is able to contain a distraction and, you know, the media presence that will come with it naturally, and which coach doesn't care about that and is just focused on the football aspect. And, oh, by the way, also has to have a GM if there is one and an owner that signs off on it. Those are all the things. You heard Hugh Jackson this week say that when he was in Cleveland, he wanted him and that he made the case for him and, above him was a GM and an owner and they wouldn't go for it. And Hugh Jackson said that was that. Couldn't get him. Couldn't have him on my team.
Yeah.
As a coach, I wanted him. I wanted to take a look. Wanted to bring him in. Team wouldn't do it. And so you're going to have both. Let's just use the Patriots as the example. Bill would first want to have him here, and then he would have to call the owner and say, is this okay with you? Because, this is obviously not an everyday signing. There's going to be some there's going to be a spotlight on us for doing it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, look at Antonio Brown. I mean, you know, owners have last call on the I don't want to say players that they have questions on, but you know, that's a totally different situation. Antonio Brown is not Colin Kaepernick. You know, this guy was dangerous. Dangerous. I'd say Kaepernick hasn't played in 4 years. That's the biggest problem here for him. It really is. Yeah, I mean, you've been out of the game for 4 years. You haven't been throwing routes to guys. You haven't been in offensive meetings. And it's just, I'm amazed he still wants to play. I'd love to know what that desire is.
So know? Let's go further. Is there a possibility of the Patriots bringing him in? Would you want the Patriots to bring him in? We'll get to all of that coming up. 617-779-0985. We'll get to those thoughts coming up with your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Should the Patriots, who in my opinion are lean at the position of quarterback, consider bringing him in?
Should they consider it? Sure, why not? I would be a hypocrite to say, well, the Patriots should bring in this player or that player on day 3 of the draft or as an undrafted free agent because that guy may have upside and may provide a little bit of depth to a position that really only includes 2 pros right now in Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. So I would say, sure, why not? But you mentioned it, Gary. He has been out of the league for over 3 years. His last game was in January of 2017. So I would say bring him in, work him out, put him through a real workout, and see if he can still come close to the physical ability that we saw from him the last time he was on the field, because I think he would be worth it football-wise.
What are you laughing at?
I think Jim is laughing at the...
Oh, sorry. Yep. Yeah.
Yes, we are. The fast-paced music that was part of that segment there on Early Edition with Phil Perry and Gary Tangway. Sounds like it's...
Well, I thought somebody was on YouPorn or something.
For his comments or something.
What's that?
Lots of, like, dings in there. Like, he was getting points every time he made a good comment.
Ding!
Ding.
Yeah. Wonder where they got the
like
ding button
Rialli's
from.
Over there hitting the buttons, you know? Oh, man. That's Phil Perry talking about should the Patriots take a look, should the Patriots go after him. I like that Phil said this in order to not be a hypocrite. Sure, take a look. What's the big deal?
Yeah, bring him in for a workout.
Bring him in. Take a look. See if there's anything there. See if there's anything you could use. See if he could be a fit for you. I don't have any issue with taking a look at any player. So, could it work here? Could it happen here? Given those sort of parameters that we already gave last segment, like, could you see... I could see Josh McDaniel saying, yeah, you know, there's something there that intrigues me. I just want to see if there's, you know, something we can make of this and make it fit what we do. And I could see Bill saying, all right, go ahead. You know, we've brought in players before. We can bring this one in. And then I could see ownership saying, go ahead, do it. Like, I don't think it's a problem here. I don't think that there's a roadblock in New England other than – like the football part of it. I don't think that's the case everywhere, though. So the place where there aren't those other roadblocks, though, are the teams I would look at and say, okay, that could be a team. Like, that could be a team that would sign off on it, that would have an owner that doesn't, you know, doesn't care about Colin Kaepernick being on their team. So I think the Patriots you could put on that list. I think it's why the Patriots are sort of picking up that traction, though. They've been mentioned in a lot of different stories as a potential landing spot.
Well, because they have the most controlled locker room, too, right? They are receptive to everybody. They accept all. They have great leadership within those walls with players, with veterans. They got guys in the right spot, and they've done this over the years. We don't have to go through a list of guys they brought in, whether through draft, through trade, through free agent signings. It doesn't matter because you know they're led well from the top, all the way top, from ownership down to the head coach. Same structure, GM, coordinators. It's pretty much the same. You got guys like Mayo in there, too, and that's like having another captain in there, not only in your locker room, but in your coaching staff, you know, meetings and stuff. So they have good leadership from the top to the bottom. And that's why people assume, okay, that would make a logical fit for him.
617. Yeah, go ahead, Hardy.
I think it's going to have to be something more than Josh McDaniels. And I know you're not saying this is the only you know, qualification, Beetle, but it's going to have to be something more than McDaniels saying, like, I think I see something there, you know? Because there's more in the Kaepernick conversation for the Patriots or any other team that's going to bring him in. It would, you know, I think he would have to make a pretty compelling argument in order to convince, like, just whether it's Belichick or whomever, it's like, well, look, this is going to be a bit of a circus.
Hardy's right here.
So
Hardy's right here.
Make sure there's something you really want to look at. If you're just curious, we're curious about a lot of players that we...
Well, to bring him in for a workout? No. I mean, the workout doesn't matter. Signing him.
What's your interest? If you like it. And I think Josh would have to go, and Hardy's right on this point. I think Josh would have to go and say, hey, we've had the other guy for 20 years. It was his offense.
But there's a process.
We're a different offense this year.
The first part is bringing him in for the workout because you're intrigued and you're interested.
He would have to go and say...
Well,
he would have to say it's the unknown. He would have to say it's the unknown of Stidham. And I want to bring this guy in for a workout because there could be another element to our offense, like a Taysom Hill.
Why? Was there an unknown when they brought Tim Tebow in? I mean, Tom Brady was their quarterback. There was no unknown then.
There was quarterback. They thought, boy, this guy could play quarterback, and we could sit him and work him. And that couldn't even happen because he throws paint cans. Like I said, I think the workout itself would take care of this. Bring him in for a workout, and if it doesn't look good, you don't sign him.
But let's be honest. They thought they could fix the issues that Tim Tebow had as a quarterback. What they see is some raw ability or something that they like, and they think that they can coach him up and fix whatever issues he had.
Sure.
That's the only way a sane person could bring him onto your roster.
He's a former first-round pick, and the coach that picked him is on your squad, is on your staff. That's the reason they came here. Guys always get second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances.
But, Beetle, even for the...
And Colin Kaepernick hasn't gotten his second is sort of the point here. A second-round pick. He was the 36th overall pick in the draft. It's not like he was, you know, drafted in the sixth round.
Right.
Even for the workout, though, you have to know that that's a potential powder keg there. Like, if you bring him in for a workout and, maybe you don't see something there, you're going to have to answer questions because it's going to, you know, word is going to get out that he was in for the workout. And then all the questions, were they doing this just so they could look like, you know, they were doing the right thing morally? Were they placating him? You know, was it something to placate protesters? You're going to raise all kinds of questions, even if you just bring him in for a workout and it's like, it turns out it didn't, you know, it wasn't really what we need here.
Oh, are the Patriots a stranger to controversy? Are the Patriots a stranger to dealing with media distractions?
I don't think they go better than them. But they don't go shopping for it, you know.
They don't do it just to do it. They're not placaters.
They're not going to do it just to do it. If they were to bring him in, I would not question whether or not they actually want to look at him. The Patriots are not going to waste their time for doing someone a solid or to make it look like they're, you know, doing an act of social justice. That's not what they're doing. They bring him in because they had a legit interest.
Wasn't that the conversation about Tebow, that it was they went and had dinner there in the North End and brought him
in
for a while?
That was before he got drafted. They went to dinner in the North End.
But it was as a favor. Like, that was the rumor going around that it was doing somebody a solid. Somebody in the Patriots, whether it was Bill or someone else. Look, I don't, you know, all the inner workings and all the things that go on and, you know, for appearances and whether it helps another player or another team or a coach that you're friendly with and whether it's, you know, the short-term favor or a long-term con, whatever it is, they think about this stuff. And I don't necessarily think they go out of their way to invite controversy. It has to be for a real good reason. And with Kaepernick, you know, that's something that it would be a longer conversation than the standard, let's bring this guy in for a workout. Because it's going to create a lot of conversation about the team, even if you don't end up signing him. Well, why didn't you sign him? Wasn't he? I don't believe he wasn't good enough. I think they did that just to make themselves look good. And you know damn well he's better than their second backup to Stidham right now. You know, whoever ends up behind Hoyer or Stidham on the depth chart there, you know he's better. People are going to say that without having seen any of them, just based on what he did in the past. That's gonna.
You brought in a kid that doesn't even hold the strings.
I mean, you're describing a guy in Bill Belichick who really doesn't care what people are saying. I mean, he rarely reacts to it. He rarely gets into that fray. I mean, I don't think that's going to be something that would scare him away. If he likes something from a football standpoint and wants to take a look, I think he's going to do it. And the other part is, I think he maybe would have done it by now, which is why I don't think this is going to happen.
I agree, too, with that. I agree with that last point right there, that if they genuinely had interest, and we've talked about this with the Cam Newton thing, because Cam played so well in his game, four games against you. The numbers are through the roof. And like, well, Bill would be interested in that because he likes players that play well against him, which is true. People forget Kaepernick came in here in that rain game, San Francisco, the Randy Moss game, played his ass off against you here in poor conditions. And I think if they saw something in him and with Bill's dealings with Chip Kelly over the years, I mean, he still confides in Chip, and Chip had him as a head coach out there in San Fran. You know, this connection would have happened earlier if there was interest by Bill and the team. I'm with Beto on that point. I think that's the biggest thing. If Bill liked Kaepernick, he would have got him a while ago. And if he could have.
Derek is in Rhode Island. Let's go to some of the calls. Hey, Derek, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, D?
My thing is, I'm wondering if that video that Goodell put out recently, if that increases Kaepernick's value. Because everyone's going to be kneeling. Let's be honest here. He was blackballed in the past. And I think he becomes more valuable for that reason.
Well, I just don't think in 4 years he magically got better as a player. Yeah, you know I mean, I think his shelf life. So, guys, go ahead.
But do you really think that's why he didn't get another chance, was because of the way he played?
No, I do think it's part of it.
You think that? Okay, I get what you're saying.
Depending on your system and what you run as a coach, yes.
Yeah, if he were if he were Patrick Mahomes, right?
Right.
If Patrick Mahomes had been the guy that, you know, let's say 2 years ago took a knee, Patrick Mahomes' job is fully secure.
Absolutely. Same thing with Cam Newton years ago. See, I think the part with Cap, the problem was it was like at the end, and at, you know, when he started to play poorly or when he wasn't starting anymore, that's when he started to take the knee. And people are like, well, what are you doing that for? Why don't you do it when you're in your prime?
Okay.
You know, when you took San Francisco to a Super Bowl.
If Kaepernick had not taken the knee, and he just had the bad ending in San Francisco as a player.
Yeah.
He absolutely has been in the league the last 4 years.
Like, you'd have to think he would bounce around. Guys bounce around everywhere. Yeah. I'm with you on that. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. He would still be around. He would still be playing. He would have gotten another job.
Because there are people that look at it, you bring that type of guy in, you're going to have baggage that comes with it, whether you like the baggage or not. I'm saying teams would look at that. And that's, you know, it's why people feel that he was quietly banned. You know, collusion,
quietly,
whatever you want to call it.
I don't think he was quietly banned. I think he was obviously thrown out of the league. No one wanted him. No one would touch him. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where there's no evidence of this, that he wanted to be paid as a starter. Where's that coming from, may I ask? He needed to be paid like a starter.
It was from the Denver's interest in him.
Says
who? Denver offered a deal to 2 years to come in to compete, and he wanted to compete for a starting job in Denver. Elway talked about that. A couple years ago.
No, I thought it was the Seattle thing. This is where these rumors, you know, really know where to trace them back to. That in Seattle, Pete Carroll couldn't sign him because he wanted starters' money to go to Seattle. Which I don't think has ever been proven.
Maybe he wanted higher backup money. I don't know that, you know. Pete's not going to get into the negotiations, you know, out in the public forum where you didn't sign the player. What I'm here, yeah, oh yeah, here's what we offered, but you know, he wants starter money. No, Pete's not gonna do that.
Back in February of 2019 from the Chicago Tribune,
okay,
when they were talking about him maybe going to the XFL, and the reason why he wasn't going to be able to go to the XFL is he was looking for too much money. The two and then there was what was the other one that lasted for 20 minutes, the AAF or
yes,
okay. The two upstart leagues will go head-to-head next spring, and a big-name quarterback could be a draw for either. However, $20 million out of the range of salaries being offered by each league, Kaepernick, who's been out of the NFL since prior to San Francisco, asked for a salary of at least $20 million. So maybe we're mixing up what he was asking for from either.
Now, I know
AAF
he was looking for a lot there.
Or the XFL.
You know, that's the AAF. I'm talking about the Seattle one is where it always comes from, is the workout with Pete Carroll in Seattle.
Where's Lauf? Lauf, you're there. They had a trade worked out for him. Didn't Denver? That fell through? Elway was going after him hard.
So Denver apparently offered, the report was that Denver 17, offered right? $7 million as a starter when they signed Case Keenum.
Okay.
And he didn't want to take less than starter money.
But he was going.
That was the report. Nobody knows if that's true or not, but that was the report.
And who reported it? Is that well known?
It was out there at the time. I just don't know who reported it.
Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, reported Seahawks and Kaepernick were apart on money when they met last week. That was in 2017.
All right, apart on money. But no one knows what the money was. And that is now snowballed into he demanded starter money.
Well, no, here's the thing, too, now. Now, then this is why they question, okay, now if it's really about money, or do you want to just come in and get a shot and play? Let's sign it a small beans here, and then let's pad it with all kind of performance-based bonuses, because if you do stick, then we pay you. If the chance is what you want, you just want to come in and compete. That shows you how much it means to you.
617-779-0985. We'll get to more of your calls coming up on this, on Colin Kaepernick, and should he end up with the Patriots? Do you think there's a possibility he ends up there? I'm telling you, every story you read on this, the Patriots get mentioned because people believe they could handle it. That is in the mix. Here are headlines. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero 98.5, the phone number. Let's get to some of your calls. Colin Kaepernick, could he land in the NFL again this season? I think he could. I think there's going to be more serious interest. There might be teams that are willing to take a look that were not able to take a look previously.
More interest or less pushback?
Less pushback is really what it is.
Yeah,
Less pushback from the owner of their team, less pushback from a GM, less pushback from the public. All of those things I think are in play. Let's go to Joe, who's in Woburn. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Joe, what's up?
Hey, you know, here's the proof that the reason why Kaepernick doesn't have a job is because he stinks. Then why isn't every other person who's taken a knee and spoken out about injustice, why aren't they out of the league?
All right, name those other guys. Who are they?
Well, I mean, everybody who takes a knee during the national anthem is one of those guys.
Now, name them. Who are they?
I mean, anybody who's taken a knee at a...
Now, you prove my point, Joe, because Kaepernick is the one face of it. He's the name of it. He's the embodiment of the guys who kneeled. That's why, Joe. You couldn't name another guy. That's why. That's why he's not back. Because he is the guy who is most closely associated with it.
He is the face of that.
He's the one that has been the most outspoken about it. That's why. It's not that hard to figure out. Yes, there are other guys that have kneeled. Yep, there's actually been a lot of other guys that have kneeled at some point. He was the first.
There's Eric Reed. He and Eric Reed are the two biggest, right? As far as being out at the forefront of this. It's his former teammate, right? Isn't he in Philly now? I think he is in Philly. Or Baltimore. I'm not sure.
Carolina, right?
Yeah,
Carolina,
and he had
I'm
a hard
sorry,
time getting the job, too,
yeah,
by the way.
He was out there for a while, and then, they were both on that lawsuit together. And I think, he's the other one I would say that's closest to Cap as far as, you know, being at the forefront of this. But other than that, you're not going to get a lot of attention. There's a lot of players that kneel with him in support of what he's trying to point out. But you'll never talk about those guys. You always talk about the ones that started. And he plays the most important position, quarterback. So, yes. It's quarterback. So, go ahead.
Ralph and Cranston. Ralph.
hey, guys, look, this would have to be a football decision to bring him in, and it makes absolutely no sense. You already have a veteran on this team. You have a young kid. And to me, they're building a team again. It makes no sense. But, Zoe, you know what I'd like to ask you?
Sure.
Let's say that year when he first kneeled, before that game, now you, as a white football player, are playing on his team with a bunch of other guys, and you know, we all know how you bond together as a team. If he had talked to that locker room and said, look, there's injustice going on in this country, guys. I think we should all lend a hand in helping this, but here's what we're going to do. Right after the national anthem, we're going to go on the field. The hell with the start of the game for now. We're going to hold it up a minute or two. We're going to get on one knee, and we're going to say, you know what? We all have to say that the whole racism, it's horrible, and social injustice. Would you have gone on that after the national anthem with your teammates? And no,
I'm so confused. But she wanted to kneel prior to going out.
No. He's saying if you were a teammate of his.
Yeah.
And he said, "As when the national anthem ends, when it's over, will you take a knee with me? The whole team, can we take a knee together to draw attention to the issue? Not during the anthem, after it.
If you address the team prior to that, and you were very concise in the way you talked and what your concerns were, and you're a team leader, I think guys would do that. You'd have to talk to people about it prior to it. Like everybody, like, what's going on? What are we doing? You know, you just can't pull it out of thin air." You know,
right.
There's so much damn structure in that league, you know, about the way you do things. We do this. We're going to be here at 10:55, you know, this meeting, that. Then we go to one-on-one drills. Then we go to team. Then we go to groups. Then it's tight ends versus backs. It's just, it's boom, 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 here. Schedule. Structure. And all of a sudden, bang, okay, what's going on? He didn't talk to us about this, you know. We don't know. We don't, you know, you always taught we don't create distractions within our locker room. You know, good coaches preach that, teach that, talk it, live it. You know, Belichick. Look at the Zoom call last week. They were kind of shocked that he went and we didn't do any football. We talked about what's going on. And you got to know the pulse of your team. And I would think you'd have to talk to guys in team meetings and one-on-one and all that before you went out and did this. But I'm sure guys would do that. If you allow guys, they want to stand and respect the flag, and that's the way they look at it, then you got to give them the opportunity to do it. But, hey, some of us will be kneeling, and we'd like you guys to kneel with us after the song is over, which is ultimately getting to us to the point of should we even play this song anymore in sports?
Yeah,
and I know that's been discussed.
Yeah, Jimmy Traina actually wrote that yesterday. He said, stop playing the national anthem before sporting events. He says, to me, there's a very simple solution to fix the entire situation. Stop playing the national anthem at sporting events.
You know, you brought this up to me when this discussion started a long time ago.
Like four years ago.
Yeah.
Like, do we still have to do this every game?
You even asked me, did they play it? I couldn't even remember. And I think we were in the locker room when they played it.
Yes. You, when you were a player, you weren't even on the field for it. They did it before the players had come out.
And I think this is why the national anthem at the Super Bowl is so huge. It was so huge for us at the time. Like, you get out there and you see it. You're like, whoa, that's where the emotion of
that to me is where it should be.
That's
like
where it should be.
The marquee events,
like,
right?
This is it. This is like the crowning achievement, right?
You do it before the Super Bowl. You do it at the start of the World Series. You know,
you do it every damn day or at the start of school or on another station, a radio station or something. You dilute it. You dilute the song. Yeah, you spread something out. You thin it out, you know?
He says, Jimmy Trina said, outside of tradition, he said, outside of tradition, why is the national anthem played at sporting events at every single one of them? What does it have to do with a Brewers-Padres game or a Vikings-Bears game or a Lakers-Celtics game?
I mean, it's all good points.
Zone's got the best point. It's just burned out. I'm sick of it. God.
it's like Macarena.
I've heard enough already.
Well, no, Zoe's right because, you know, we were talking about the Pledge of Allegiance in school yesterday. Which, by the way, it's still done. And it's like after, you know, the 100th day of school there, you're just doing it because you do it. Not because it has any real strong meaning to you, right? It's just like, oh, this is the routine, you know? This is what we do. We do the routine.
It's like do the Lord's Prayer, and you're taught the Lord's Prayer. And then, like, how many times a day do you say that, if you say it, or if you pray with your kids, you know, or before a meal? I mean, then you get used to just doing it. That's what we do.
Don't you think, though, they would find the players who choose to protest are going to find another point either before, during, or immediately after the game to somehow, you know, I guess, express what they're trying to express even without a national anthem?
Yes, very possible.
I mean,
yeah, they could do that. Yeah,
they're almost like two separate things.
It's
like,
it solves the anthem issue, but I don't know. If that were me and it were something I really were, you know, felt passionate about and I wanted, you know, to take that moment because I knew it hit home on so many levels and it, you know, we have disagreed on this, Beatle, but I believe they are, you know, there's a certain aspect of making people uncomfortable by doing it then. That's what helps draw attention to the issue. If players chose to do that at a time, whether it's Kaepernick or anyone else, that didn't make people uncomfortable or take notice, then it wouldn't be as effective. So there's a reason why they're doing it when everyone else is standing and looking at the flag and the anthem is playing. I mean, it's not just because, oh, that seems like an opportune time in terms of the scheduling here. No, there's a reason why it happens then. So if you take that away, it is going to force their hand into doing something that might, you know, I can't imagine what that would be, but something potentially even more offensive and more divisive in terms of a time to make that statement. I don't know what it would be, but you're just gonna take that away from it so that we can. All right, well, we got something else in mind. You think you were pissed off before? Oh, wait till you see this.
617-779-0985. We have some sad news to report.
Report. Freudian slip.
I didn't do this.
You did, though.
But you I did.
We have some sad
just
news.
Just like the shark thing. And
sad news to depoint.
We're not going to point anything. We're not pointing anything out.
We're pointing fingers right at Zoe is what we're doing.
I'm pointing you two.
That's
is there
next.
Three of them?
I don't think we did anything.
There are two now.
We didn't do anything, Hardy.
No, we
we're good.
I didn't do anything.
No, I don't even know that Zoe did anything on this one.
He did. We'll tell you about
all
it
right,
next.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hardy, do you recall a conversation on, I believe, Friday? A detailed, in-depth conversation about the Pointer Sisters and their home that Zoe looked at? That he could fit 20 people in a side room somewhere and had the indoor pool and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, of course I recall it, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, we've got
what's
a
point.
We've got a bad history on this show of bringing up musical artists. And then all of a sudden, someone dies.
Shaughnessy.
Dan Shaughnessy, most notably, killed...
George Michael.
George Michael. Brought him up, talked about him on the show, and even said, oh, he's dead, right? No, he's not dead. And then he died within days.
He is now.
So, as we like to say, Shaughnessy killed George Michael.
On Christmas, now, too.
What's that?
On Christmas.
I remember being down in Florida over break. And he died. We all called each other. Like, Shaughnessy killed him.
Yeah. Happened yesterday. Bonnie Pointer, who in 1969 convinced three of her siblings that were singers to form the Pointer Sisters.
Yep, and Jump for Your Love.
She passed away on Monday at the age of 69. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, I didn't do it.
I think you did.
I can't claim that one.
Okay. Do we know
what?
Zoe, you've told the story about the Pointer sister who lived, what town?
Rentham. All right. It's actually Plainville, probably. Plainville or Rentham. What's stiff?
Well, did they all live there? Who was living there?
One. I think one lived there.
Is it Hopedale, Mass?
Hopedale? No. I live in Rentham. That's like, it's right on the Rentham-Plainville line.
We didn't mention any singular Pointer sister. All we talked about was the Pointer sisters, the Pointer sisters, the Pointer sisters, and then all of a sudden, the founder of the Pointer sisters, the Pointer sister, passes away, Hardy. You're looking for a technicality here that I don't think you're going to find.
We were talking about whether or not...
Why are you trying to save him? He just admitted what he did. He killed her.
I didn't kill her.
I think it does matter a little bit as to whether or not, you know, we were talking about... If we're going to include siblings now of all these people, then, yeah, there's going to be...
We didn't talk about a singular person. We never mentioned a singular person. It was referred to as the Pointer Sisters' house. Plural. Sisters.
Yeah, and I've always called it that because I never knew which one lived there.
Right, exactly. So what's the diff now? If there was no difference on Friday, there's no difference now.
Yeah, what's the diff?
I found a story from March of this year. Ruth Pointer lives in Hopedale, Massachusetts. So I'm starting to question whether or not Zoe's even in the home. I mean, you bring up the name, but...
No, Hardy,
We'll walk up through the woods and go see it.
Hardy, that house you're talking about is a different house. I remember seeing an episode of Chronicle where they went to that house in Hopedale.
I suppose it's possible that she moved and stayed within the state sometime over the course of 25 years.
Yes.
I'll grant you that. But still, now anyone, I mean, it was never the home of all the Pointer sisters. They didn't live there all at once as far as we know.
So they may have.
Man, it was a good party.
I think we're opening ourselves up for a lot.
I just wanted the nightclub part of it.
Being blamed for a lot of deaths.
She could have upside of half. Just let me sleep where the nightclub is.
If we're going to be blamed for the deaths of siblings, the people, just because, you know, somebody gets mentioned on the show, like if we, you know.
Just don't bring up the Kennedy's name. There's like one that happens every summer down there, man.
If Morgan Freeman's sister ends up passing away, are we going to be blamed because Zoe did his Morgan Freeman impression the day
before?
Tell
you what, the last time one of those midday guys made fun of my sister, you're not going to do it to me.
Oh my God, stop. I want him around.
He's up there. We need him. Need him.
You need to stop doing that. I'm wondering.
It's too much blame, is my point. You're blaming too much. You mentioned going into a home of one of the Pointer sisters 25 years ago, and then a sister who, as far as we know, never even lived in that home ends up dying, and you want to blame Zoe. I think it was
a cool house, man.
I think it's unfair.
Cool. Vaulted ceiling.
I don't think it's unfair at all, actually.
I didn't know I was going to get my bed up the steps. I think that was the problem. One of the sticking points for me was that Big King bed, and like they had this spiral staircase all the way up this elevated master bedroom. It's like, how you get the bed up there?
Hey, you take the windows out of the master.
Wait a minute. We got a phone call that we need to get to.
All right.
Jim was just in my ear. Mike in Bellingham, what do you got for us, Mike?
Hey, guys, long-time listener.
What's
Mike
up?
Not too much. All done for the day. I was just listening to you guys. My dad framed Ruth Pointer's house back in 1997. I remember it clearly because I was just a young kid at the time on the crew. So this is the one in Hopedale that she built. It was in Hopedale, yep. It was right near the Milford Hospital. Yep.
So that would have been around the time Zoe was looking at homes, right? Zoe?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. So, I remember it fondly because it was the April 1st snowstorm happened while we were there building the house.
April Fool's Day,
Oh, my God, it was that 36 incher.
Yes.
What did the house look like?
It was just massive. I was in my early years of construction at the time, but it was a big house.
I mean, was it modern? Was it colonial? What was it?
It's on the inside. It's not modern. It's not modern. There's videos of it online if you want to go see it. So that was 97 that the move happened. I mean, yes, Ruth is the one that lives locally. So that we've got going. We've got. We know that
Snowstorm was 96.
Okay, so that,
but yeah,
that house, that house I would have been looking at would have been in 1995, 94.
The Snowstorm was most definitely April of 97, Jim.
It was 97, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Hmm. April 1st, 97.
We lost power. We shot pool in the basement with candles.
You put the candles on the pool table? That doesn't
Well, it's dark. Like, no, we got a rail around the room.
Added element of
It was 97, difficulty. Jim.
Sexy pool.
Sexy naked
candlelight. It was two months after Zoe had been raising the roof in Super Bowl 31.
That's terrible.
2 months later. It was right after that. Yeah. The snow, by the way, from that storm, remember it melted like within a week's time it was gone?
Like, wow, that's a lot of snow for you.
It's a ridiculous amount of snow on April 1st. Okay, and then
joke's over.
It all melted. It was like disappeared. Mark is in Framingham. He has been to the Pointer Sister house as well. Which one? Is it the Hopedale one or the Rentham one?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's the one that was wild. So it was all shag carpeting. It was very large. A family friend bought it, and they made some weird part for NASCAR, which is why they're able to afford it. But they had, like, a Lamborghini in the garage with no tires on it, and it was two people living there with a lot of space. But it definitely wasn't a family-friendly house.
That's the one Zoe looked at. Did you have an indoor pool?
Yep. It had an indoor pool, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That's the one.
Yep.
Thank you.
A lot of what? A lot of space?
Yeah, a lot of space for two people.
A lot of places you could do activities. Like
any idea who was living there, Mark? Was it a pair of sisters?
No, it was a family friend. It was a guy and his wife, and he made some part for NASCAR.
Okay. I'm talking about before that. I'm talking about when the Pointers were living there.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Matt and Milford with another Pointer Sister call. Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, I live right down the street from her. It's like a White House replica. I mean, it's to a T. It looks just like the White House. It's a tiny bit smaller.
Is your phone a tin cup with a string on it?
All right, so come on.
I can't hear you. So he lives right down the street from it.
Yes. Yes. What's it got? A little bit of a... let me see here. I just pulled up a YouTube video of it, Hardy. I'll send it to you because I know you're... Oh, yeah, it's got a little bit of a neoclassical look to the front of it. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Neoclassical. What the hell does that mean?
You know, the pointed part of the White House? Rounded part and the
right.
other side. The point.
The apex, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that sort of look.
Okay. Column-esque. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, with columns. It's got columns. Yeah, nice. That's exactly right. You know what it is.
Yeah.
I'll send you this video. Nice place.
Nice.
But you still killed her. Sorry, Zoe.
Thanks. All right.
We do have an item about Zoe's current house in this day in show history later this hour.
We do? Is it mulch?
You hear it?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.